It feels a bit funny, me being here tonight, when I know that this time next week I'm going to be in a completely different place, which I really love, and I feel as home there as I do around here, where I live and work and where I'm based. And that other place is a big city in southern Nigeria called Ibadan. But I'm really pleased to be here with you tonight. Now, if you've heard this, what I'm going to say tonight before, and many of you have, I may have spoken it myself, I can't remember. It's not a mistake. And I just warn you not to be over familiar or not to turn off once I start reading and once I start telling this story, just because you've heard it. And just because you know it well, and just because I may have preached it myself here, don't turn off, please. Bless you. I'm going to speak about the running father, not the prodigal son, tonight. And I'm going to read some familiar words from Luke 15 that Jesus said. And I'll read it and you can just listen and follow. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. He wasn't very nice, by the way, in doing that. In other words, he said to his father, "I know it's not the proper time. I know it's not usual. I know it's unusual. I know it's a bit rude of me, but give me the money now. I can't wait. I've got plans. Give me it." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed pigs in a field. He longed, he wished to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up, went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to his father, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, come on now. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Bring the fat calf. Kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost. So they began to celebrate. We have a story here that Jesus told. He told three stories about a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And in this story, he describes a father who was waiting. And this father's really generous. He's generous because he gives these gifts. He's a kind of father that doesn't give one or two gifts. He gives gift upon gift upon gift upon gift. He just kept going. He was really generous. So the first gift that he gives is himself. He runs to his son. He breaks all culture. He doesn't care about what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. He's a running father. At his age, in his state, in his position, in his culture, you don't run. It's like the queen running. The queens never run. Even when she was 25, you don't run, Queenie. Now she's 90, working 40 minimum hours a week. Isn't she amazing? Turn to the person next to you and say, she's amazing. Now, come on, say it as if you mean it now. She's amazing. The Queen 90. The Queen who serves the King. The Queen who serves the King is still working 40 hours a week. Blooming heck. And this father breaks all culture. He's running. And he's running because he's full of compassion. That's why. He's been waiting for this day, praying for this day, longing for this day. And he sees him in the distance while he's still a long way off. Get it now. That's good. He's a long way off. He's in a rubbish condition. When he first looks upon his son, he's thinking, who is that? What is that? Is that a pile of what or what? What is that? A tramp? What is that? It's my son. He runs. When he gets there, he throws his arms around him, the Bible says, and he kisses him, not once. It's like kiss, 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 kiss. He won't let him go. He wants to wriggle out. He won't let him wriggle out. He's got hold of him. Then this generous father begins to hear the speech. He cuts him in half. He doesn't want to hear the speech. He knows the son's sorry. The son gets halfway through it. He interrupts him and says, okay. Finito. It's finished. I know what you're going to say. I know you're sorry. It's okay. He orders his servants. Quick. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Now, to get a robe of the kind of robe that we're talking about here is quite nice in itself. Today, it would be equivalent of an Italian suit. Not a British suit. Not even Savile Row. That's where the British suits are made. They're good. But bring the best robe. Robe of distinction. He's special. That's what the robe means. Put it on him. It's like my jacket. Size 36, short, fantastic. Put it on him. He's special. Bring a ring. The ring in itself is valuable. Don't get me wrong. The robe is good in itself, but it's what the Father's doing. He's saying, this son of mine is special, he's distinct. That's what the robe represents. Take note of him. I'm restoring him, healing him, giving him back his specialness, his distinction. A man of distinction, a real big spender, isn't it? It's a bit like that. Give him a ring of authority. That's what the ring is. He has position, he has authority, he has power. I have a robe. It's not made of cloth. God has placed his robe of righteousness upon me. He's made me special. He's given me special things to do, places to go, things to do. He's given me a ring of authority and power. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm passing it on to you. Go, he said to his disciples. We have authority if we belong to him. Robe of distinction. Ring of authority and power. Now he's given him sandals. What does that mean? He's like, these are the shoes of shoes. Well, the servants in those days went around barefoot. The servants went around barefoot. So what the Father was saying is, I know you've come back just wanting to be a slave or a servant, but I'm not having it. I know you'd be happy just to be back as a slave or a servant, but I'm not having you back as that. My children don't go around barefoot like the slaves or servants. I'm dressing them in shoes of sonship. So he's restoring him. Saying to him, you are my son and you're back. You were lost and you're back and you're found. This was a real major restoration day for him. The gifts were nice. They were okay. But you know, we can have gifts. But if we don't have what they represent, they're like empty. We can have things or we can have relationships, but we can still be empty. But if we're his son, if we're his daughter, if we have his authority, if we're dressed in his robe of righteousness and specialness, now we're talking. And then he orders a celebration. They've been keeping this fat beast for something special, not for this, but they ditched that idea. Now they were going to keep it for like something like a wedding, bar mitzvah, whatever, but they're not doing any of that. The Father changes his plans. The Father's generous. Our Father's generous. What's the Father like? He's like forgiving and giving. He not only forgives, he gives on top. He's forgiving and he's giving. Some people like, they won't forgive. You know when someone won't forgive? They take some kind of revenge. Think about it. People that won't forgive take some kind of revenge, even if it's like, I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at you. You're a schmuck. I'm not looking at you. You've got disrespect for me. I've got disrespect for you. I'm not even looking at you. I know we're in the same church. I'm not looking at you. Like, I give you the hard shoulder. Push off. Yeah, you're bigger than me, but I don't care. I'm just turning my back on you. I'm going to ignore you. I'm not looking at you. We're finished. It could be something like that. Like, I'm not talking to him. I'm not looking at him. That's revenge. But the Father, he forgives. And his son was totally disrespectful. It's a waste of space. It was really bad. But he came to his senses. That's what the Bible says. He came to his senses. So the Father is generous. I thought when Pastor Dan, I'm not calling him Dan. They never call me Andy in Nigeria. I've got spiritual sons and daughters. They never call me Andy. It's like disrespectful. It's Reverend Andy. When Pastor Dan was talking about putting something in the collection, I just felt the Lord saying to me, when you open up your wallet, don't give the small note. I wanted to give the small note. Actually, I didn't want to give. I'm not giving. I'm a visitor here. What am I doing giving? I'm not giving. Giving. You should give me. I think I'll take something out. Well, give me the bucket. Let me take something out. And then I thought, no, I need to give. I need to be generous. Yeah, but Lord, I'm tithing plus already. Give. You're not going to die if you give. Well, shall I give the small note? He said, no, don't give the small note. I said, you don't want me to give that big note, do you? He said, give the big note. Whether it's something that might seem trivial or not, or whether it's something bigger in your life, say yes. Let's be generous. The Father was generous. The Father was forgiving. I'm speaking to maybe two kinds of groups of people tonight. The first one is this. Who are you? What are you becoming? What is your aim? I realized a few years ago, I can't stay fixed on the son. We read the story and we gravitate towards the son. Even if you're old like him. We gravitate towards the sun. But in the last few years, I'm gravitating towards the Father. And God says to me, you're a father to many people spiritually. You've been a father now for some decades. You've mentored, you've coached, you've discipled, and now you're doing that, especially in Nigeria, but not only there. And being a father or a mother spiritually is tiring. But we need to grow up and not remain a child. Like gravitating towards the son in the story. But if you don't belong to him, or if you're not sure where you stand with him tonight, nail it. Complete the job. Make sure you don't go out this building without knowing you're his son or his daughter tonight. And I'm asking us all to become like fathers and mothers a father or a mother who is generous with their time, talents and treasure, with their life, with their very life. There's a calling upon your life. There's things that God wants you to do. There's things that God wants you to become, and me as well, so that we can make a difference in our world, locally and further afield. God will call some of you to other fields, to other countries, to other things. Come on now. Be open to his calling. What do we need to do? We need to come to our senses and just come to him like the son in the story. Take a step towards him and say, "Here I am, Father. I've sinned. Forgive me. Make me yours. Take me deeper. Kiss me. Throw your arms around me. Kiss me with the kiss of life. Kiss me and make me come alive. Give me the kiss of life." You know, the kiss of life. Sometimes people need that, don't they? Physically, to survive. There's been an accident and someone's like given them the kiss of life. Literally. I've had that from Jesus. I've had that from my God and from the Holy Spirit. Let's turn around, come to him and say, "Here I am, just as I am, with all my messed up life. Make me like your child," and he will. And tonight, I'm going to give us all an opportunity. If you've never done that, or if you're not sure, or if you are removed, you're thinking, you know, "I've done this, but I don't know how deep I am." Tonight, just step forward and say, "Here I am. Give me a ring of authority." Put your righteous robe around me. Forgive me and put the righteousness of Christ over me. You know, there's a little phrase in the Bible, and it appears in Ephesians, for example, a lot. And it's just in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So it's like God, when he sees me, he doesn't see the old Andy because I'm in Christ. So it's like before, I'm like, I haven't got a robe of righteousness on me. And then I've come to God and he's arrayed me. He's put on me his jacket. It's like a robe of righteousness. I'm holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Colossians 1. Quote, "I'm not only forgiven." That's good. I'm forgiven. My sins are not only forgiven, God can't even remember them. It's not because he's got dementia. Turn to the person next to you and say, "It's not because he's got dementia." Turn to the person next to you and say, "It's not because he's got Alzheimer's." So I'm not only forgiven because of the blood of Jesus, I remember your sin no more. Is that information or revelation? Make it revelation. Information's okay. We need some of that. But when information becomes revelation, blooming heck, we stand and live differently. When we know who we are, when we know what we have, when information becomes revelation, now we're talking. So not only am I forgiven, not only has he forgotten that sin and he can't remember it, you might, but he doesn't. But then he comes to me and he puts this robe of righteousness around me and says, you're in Christ. You're holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. He's the running Father. Tonight, if you're not his son, or if you're not his daughter, I'm going to give you an opportunity to step forward, to come to him like the young man in the story. Take a step forward. And I'm asking the rest of us also to take a step forward and volunteer. There are many fathers in this place, and there are many mothers in this place. And there are others of you who are about to begin this journey of what it means to be a father and a mother. And a father and a mother is someone who is generous and compassionate, like the father in the story. And I'm asking you and me, I include myself, because I'm journeying with you. I'm going deeper myself to be a better father, not only to my daughter Hannah, I'm not really talking about that, but to be a better father to my other children, not my physical children. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, you've got 10,000 teachers, but only one father. Have some respect now. Slap yourselves now. Wake up now. I'm not taking it out on him. It's because I like him that I'm talking to him like that. It's a privilege for me to look at you and spit on you. The spit is holy spit. You should package it up. Isn't it? Paul says, had 10,000 teachers, and now you're dismissing me, disrespecting me, not listening to me, saying I'm not your father, not an apostle. When I first brought you to Christ and you are where you are because of me, come on now. Let's be fathers and mothers. And God will show us what that is. He's a good father. I'm looking at you. He told me yesterday he's just retired and he's reading a book a month. I was impressed by that. A book a month. But he's a father. Dan is a father. There are fathers and mothers here. And it might be tempted to think, well, we're pretty good. And here we are. There's no denying. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm not doubting it. I feel and sense it. And I'm a father, and I'm a good father. I got a text from one of my children called Faith in Ibadan today. Daddy. Hi, Daddy. I'm looking forward to see you next week. She hasn't got a daddy, physically or spiritually. She has now. If you don't belong to him, or if you're not sure, you can make a decision tonight to be sure. To be sure, to be sure. Let's be sure. I wish I could do an Irish accent. To be sure. Be sure. So, you need to turn and go to your Heavenly Father. You need to turn and face Christ. You need to turn from everything you know to be wrong. You need to put your trust in Him. Like the son in the story. Throw yourself at the mercy and you'll receive mercy. And you need to take his gift. It's very easy. You can remember these three T's to share them with others. Turn. Trust in Christ's cross. Take the gift he wants to give you of his Spirit. You can share those three things with others. It's remembering it is easy, isn't it? T. That's what we need to do. You can make that decision tonight to step forward and say, here I am. Empower me. Show me. So that I can be a father or a mother to others. And those of you who are, let's go deeper. He's challenging some of us to go deeper in that whole role of being a father or a mother. And for me, what does that mean at this time? I need to be more charismatic. I need to be more prophetic. For me, what does it mean? I need to be praying for the sick, believing they're going to be healed. For me, what does it mean? Doing the things I don't really want to do. For me, what does it mean? To be bold, courageous, and confident. When I'm not feeling bold, courageous, and confident, but I'm feeling the prompting of the Spirit. For me, what does it mean? To keep in step more with the Spirit. For me, what does it mean? Going to Africa next Saturday for 3 weeks. For me, what does it mean? Giving to the poor. For me, what does it mean? To put solar in our school in Nigeria. To find the money for that. That's what it means for me.
It will mean something for you.
If you'd like to make this decision, I'm going to read out this prayer, which is a decision prayer. And once I've read it, those of you who'd like to join me in it can do so. Let me read it first. Keep your eyes open. This is the decision prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I know I've sinned and not followed your ways. I turn from everything I know to be wrong. I turn to go your way. Forgive my sin. I put my trust and faith in your sacrifice upon the cross. This is the decision prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life by your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, come into my life by your Holy Spirit. I take your gift of your Spirit and welcome you into my life and heart. I started singing that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, when I was in Nigeria. I got it from here in March. I went to Nigeria a few months later and I could remember that one line. So like I just did that one line. I got into that one line. I got well into it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome in this life. I take your gift of your Spirit and welcome you into my life and heart. Thank you, dear Lord. If you'd like to make this decision, if you'd like to take this step of turning, if you'd like to take this decision to put your trust and take the gift, this is like a way of doing it. You're coming to Christ and saying, I stand before you. I make my decision. I surrender all. Shall we bow our heads? Thank you.